The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Hello again, everybody. Kip Kiefer with you on Monday morning, our usual taping time, where we put together each week's edition of Everything You Need to Know. Lots going on overnight. The hardworking congressmen and senators of our nation are burning the late oil, and apparently overnight in a test vote, some more Democrats have come to the aisle of sensibility of let's do something really unique here. Let's do something for American people that are now in the collateral damage zone of this ridiculous political Mexican standoff here. As you know, or if you've had your head in the sand for the last 41 days, the U.S. government officially has been shut down. And what does that mean? Well, you know, as I always tell you, we've been assured, don't worry, all the essential employees, the people in charge of our national defense, the people that are monitoring our borders and all these other things, of course, air traffic controllers, I guess, are not considered essential because they're not being paid right now, along with a lot of other government bureaucrats. But don't worry, government is still functioning. And guess who else is still getting paid through the 41 days? If you guessed, all the congressional people, the House of Representatives, the 435 of them, and the 102 senators in the, or the 100 senators, I should say. We've got a couple territories, but they don't actually have senators, much to the Democrats' disappointment. The 100 senators, between that 535 people that are in charge of the government, they are getting their checks, as well as the administration and the cabinet, etc., etc. The essential employees are on the job. But what that makes me always ask, and you might be kind of tired of hearing me say it, but if we only are worried about the essential employees, does that mean every other employee, including air traffic controllers, are not essential? Are you going to get on a plane and fly somewhere with other aircraft in the air and landings and coordinations on runways with these non-essential employees that are not important enough to compensate during the, quote, government shutdown? Well, I'm not flying until every one of those people is back. And the people that have worked quadruple overtime during this period have been compensated and even given bonuses, because those are American heroes right now to keep this country moving. Anybody who's walked off the job, and I understand if you're not getting your check, you probably don't have much incentive to go to work, but these people are going to be rewarded with back pay for any time that they put in. So it's not like they're going to be stiffed. They're going to get their money. But I can understand why, you know, some people would maybe not report. But these people have a essential responsibility, and I use the word essential there. For them to be considered non-essential is absolutely ridiculous. The safety of Americans is at risk, and thank God we did have one major air disaster during this government shutdown, which I'm going to talk about in a moment, what's at the core of it. But that air disaster was a UPS plane that had a massive malfunction with an engine falling off that was already on fire on takeoff last week in Louisville. It was bound for Honolulu, so it was absolutely filled to the gill with fuel. And that was a horrible crash that just outside the area of the airport, the plane barely got airborne before slamming to the ground and exploding spectacularly. And that's a cheery word. Disastrously would be a much better. I mean, just one of the most horrific crashes you'll ever see. And that was nothing to do with the shutdown or air traffic control. That was a complete mechanical malfunction of that aircraft, and UPS and the people responsible for its maintenance have a lot of answers they have to give, because I think 9 more fatalities actually on the ground. People in surrounding businesses were unfortunate enough to be in that area right at that time of that tragedy. So we've dodged the bullet so far. Looks like we've got a couple of more days to endure, because some Democrats overnight, there had been 3 that consistently had been voting with the Republicans. And this goes back to the rules that have been in the United States Senate for many years. The House of Representatives almost a month ago passed passed what's called a continuing resolution that would just have allowed the government, when the budget time ran out, because October 1st, you're supposed to have all the new budget for the new year of how the government's going to operate. They never make that deadline. They're always still fighting over this and that, this dysfunctional thing we call the federal government. So they never live up to what they're sworn in to do, present a budget for the next year beginning on October 1st of the preceding year. And they didn't get that done. So what happens is, all of a sudden, time runs out. They have to make emergency measures to fix it. And the fix is what's called a continuing resolution. The Democrats under Joe Biden did it 13 times in his 4 years. Twice a year, they would get a big impasse and they would run this thing up. And both sides would grudgingly support it just to keep money flowing in the government until they could work out their budgetary differences and get something on for the next year. This time, the Democrats said, "No, we're not going to vote." The senators who have to also take the House bill that was passed and pass it in the Senate, but there's a caveat to that: they have to have 60 votes in order to make that happen in the Senate. It's a budgetary situation, and it takes 60 votes. So that means you have to have Republicans and Democrats, which is what's happened in all these previous times, the 13 continuing resolutions we've seen over the last 5 years. This time, the Democrats, led by Chuck Schumer, the minority leader in the Senate, the miserable senator from New York, a complete, career politician, government, D.C. swamp rat, just a guy who has been very limited in terms of his abilities or his ideas or his leadership. He has just found a haven in government to be masquerading as a major figure for a lot of years. And just by seniority, he's risen to the leadership of the Democrat Party in the Senate. But he has taken a stand, because when he signed on for this same process after Trump's election that was still not resolved, the Democrats under Biden tried to ramrod a 2,500-page continuing resolution right before Christmas of last year after the election. The Republicans under President-elect Trump says, do not accept this, because this is just loaded with all kinds of ridiculous spending and wasteful money. Trump ran on cutting the federal government overload and starting to attack this ridiculously burgeoning, ever-building deficit we had in this country, which was up to, I think, $27 trillion. The bottom line is the Republicans refused to go along with this giant pork bill that going to spend a lot of extra money in addition to funding the government. They tacked on all kinds of extra cheese because they thought they had the Republicans over the barrel on this, because nobody wants a complete government shutdown. Anyway, the government did shut down for a couple days, but then they did pass collectively just to get the government back open and let them go home for the holidays. Everybody passed a really short-term bill to keep the government functioning. Well, that one was up at the end of January. So in February of this year, of this calendar year, 2025, this came up again. And this time, with Trump in the White House, Biden gone to the beach or wherever he goes, or to oblivion, and the Democrats now being the minority party in the Senate, it was the Republicans who put forth a bill to keep the government funded because they still didn't have a budget worked out. And long and short of the story was, this time, Democrats joined the Republicans, including Chuck Schumer, to keep the government functional and keep it open. So that is what sparked, ironically, this particular incident, because Schumer came under so much fire for joining with the Republicans to fund the government until the budget could be worked out. And the reason he was getting a bunch of heat is because the new dominant force in the Democrat Party aren't Democrats at all. This is the socialist movement, the left-wing extremists who have hijacked the party, and it's a clear path to how they've methodically done that, meticulously pulled it off. And Chuck Schumer became the poster boy for the traditional Democrat. And this giant fissure in the Democrat Party right now is the handful of traditional politicians that have been Democrats. It used to be known as the Working Man's Party and has been unfairly labeled as the party for the downtrodden, has gotten all the minority faction vote for a long time, although that's starting to change because people are saying, I voted Democrat now my entire life. My parents voted Democrat. And where are we now? We're more impoverished and have less opportunity and more crime and more problems than we've even had in the past, because this Democrat Party has abandoned those people. They don't care about the minorities or people that are in despair. All they want are these factions of these extremist idea people. Bring everybody under the tent that's got any kind of beef, whether it's the climate or their gender or, you can name it 100 different issues, the environment, all of these really kind of touch Looney Tune folks with their flag waving, marching, protesting, different issue. And if you go to any kind of event, you're going to see this mishmash and this oddly paired groups of people with all their little individual grudges and problems, most of them which are not even realistic, like climate has been completely, proven to be just a tactic. But anyway, all these all-stars stomping around complaining about Gaza and free Palestine and all this stuff, all of this is organized chaos. They have paid thugs, the extreme left, that goes in and tries to stir these people up to destroy property and throw things and violence. ICE right now, the immigration effort to get illegals out of this country, are a big part of it. But Schumer caught so much heat for the support of that resolution back in February that they scared the bejesus out of him, because Chuck Schumer can't imagine next year when he runs for re-election again, probably for the seventh or eighth time. That's the pattern of these guys that won't go away, like Mitch McConnell on the Republican side, who doesn't have a functioning cell left in his brain at this point. And guys that stay forever and never go away, like Harry Reid did in the Democrat side for so long. They are just lifers, and they can't imagine being retired and being sent out to pasture. Nancy Pelosi, 85 years old, who has been a major force in Washington for everything not good in the last 30 years, she finally grudgingly announced that she would not run for re-election next year just this week. And at 85, it's time for Nancy to go to the house because of her husband's stock market involvement and her insider information. They are among the richest people in California now because she had and was privy for years and years to everything that was happening on the financial markets through all of her ties to being the Speaker of the House and being in the loop on everything that's happening. The most recent development on that a couple of years ago, you'll remember when I remind you that the Pelosi's made a huge score, and it's all under her husband's name, who, of course, has no involvement with Nancy's government career, but the Pelosi's made a massive score when Nancy Pelosi chaired a committee of talking about bringing more of the manufacturing of the vital computer chips back to this country. And this committee had to clear the way for applications for different companies and government subsidies that would help them get started up to bring a lot of American chip manufacturing back. And before all of this information, they already had all the testimony and had the pre-meetings before the public disclosure of that. But by the time it was announced publicly that the government would subsidize to the tune of billions of dollars these startup companies to manufacture chips in America and bring them back from the Far East, particularly Taiwan and some other places that were the centers of a lot of that activity, by the time that was disclosed in the public hearing, Nancy had already, well, I'm sure she didn't do it, but her husband is so perceptive, and I guess just paying attention to what she's doing. Bottom line is Nancy told him, jump on board, invest in these companies. We're going to give them these billion-dollar subsidies so they can get up and running. This is going to be a great score. I can't remember the number ultimately. A couple years later, somebody reported, but I mean, tens of millions, maybe even hundreds of millions of dollars, cha-ching, the Pelosi's cash in. And that's just an example of what's happening in the government. Why all of these people, the recently elected governor of New Jersey last week, Mikey Sherrill, on a financial committee, all of a sudden her and her husband hit a $7 million stock cash in. And all this is disclosed, but nobody ever does anything about it. She said, and so when somebody said, well, you just made a big score in the stock market, she said, well, I don't really follow that day to day. My husband is involved in that. So I'll have to check my records to see if we did have some kind of windfall. I don't know anything about it. I mean, if anybody's buying any of that stuff, you know, I've got the famous plot of land right in the middle of the Everglades by the prison that the Trump administration has started, Everglade Alcatraz. I've got the adjoining lot that I can sell you that you can park your trailer or a mobile home there for a nice vacation. Anyway, that's just some of the background. I wanted to talk about, you know, socialism in America, and that's the enemy here, and that's who scared Chuck Schumer, because Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the brilliant intellectual genius that is the rising star in the Democrat Party, although she too has no functioning cells in her brain, in her cranium, that is gives her any reason to be considered a leader or a possible future candidate. The thought of her running for president just doesn't have a cogent thought. Doesn't really understand, has said some of the stupidest things over the years that are just not even imaginable. Like when asked about the employment situation years ago and that the numbers were pretty good, she said, well, the only reason the numbers are good is because so many people have two jobs because they have to work extra to be able to support their families. Well, this just in, Alexandria, that doesn't, if you have a second job, that doesn't show up on the employment report. The employment report is based on who doesn't have any jobs. And that's an awful lot of Americans, as we've seen in this crisis of government shutdown, which got more serious as November rolled around and it went beyond 30 days because all of a sudden then all of these people on these food assistance programs, SNAP and WIC and what just general welfare and food stamps, etc., they didn't get their benefits. And of course, that caused tremendous unrest because I may have mentioned this last week. I was absolutely staggered when I saw that 1 in 8 people in this country are on some kind of food assistance. 1 in 8. It's you know, millions and millions of people are getting some kind of food assistance. And that tells me a couple of things. One is we got an awful lot of people just living off the government in this country. That's why we had the infusion of tens of millions. Donald Trump thinks it's more like 25 million that poured across the border unchecked and illegally during the 4 years of the, quote, Biden administration, which actually was Obama 3. And this opening of the gates, come on in, get on government assistance. We're going to take care of you. We're going to house you. We're going to feed you. We're going to educate your children. We're going to give you the life you've always dreamed of. Come on here and scunge on America because we're open for business. What happened on the invasion of America during the Biden administration was not immigration. Immigration's a legal process. It was mass-induced migration. They wanted these people to come in because I told you the dirty little secret a couple of weeks ago that the government behind the scenes secretly and illegally was issuing Social Security numbers to hundreds of thousands of these people, and it's now been reported that more than 4 million people illegally in this country have somehow obtained Social Security numbers, and that's the key to the palace. That's the key to the treasure chest. If you get a Social Security number, even if you're not an American citizen, you can immediately go apply for a driver's license. You can register to vote. And that is the reason that those numbers were distributed, because Americans were not going to go along with this program of this leftist socialist takeover of our country. So they had to import people that living off the government and believing they're entitled to receive everything that they've been promised for coming here. And that's why you had people coming across the border with brand new cell phones, fresh clothing. We didn't have a bunch of bedraggled people crawling across the border. This was an organized effort, and this was the big play. So it all comes back to the socialist movement, because America is not assailable from outside. The whole world is salivating and anxious to take advantage of the absorption of America's abundant resources, America's strength, and America's wealth. Those are the things that the whole world looks at and has collectively kind of thrown in this really unholy alliance of other rival foreign powers, along with the traditionalist Euro old world people that have resented the fact that America stands for individual liberty and freedom, and the has a constitution that's a living, breathing document from our founders of this country, being based on what we've been stressing every week, based on three simple principles: God, country, family, the traditions of America, which strives for peace, prosperity, and patriotism. They loathe all these things. They want it blown up. They want it destroyed. And there's an organized effort to do that. And that's what Chuck Schumer and this stand he took to not go along with Donald Trump, who's the evil guy that is screwing up all the plans that have been put in place this entire century by these Democrats, predominantly the big daddy Barack Obama, who had 3 terms as president, even though he's only allowed 2. He was the de facto behind the scenes president during the absentee puppet master. He was the puppet master for Joe Biden during that administration. It was all his people in play. These are things I've said to you many times, but to understand the current situation. Schumer, faced with a possible challenge from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is trying to make a makeup move here to the extreme left that he's on their side, although he's never been an extreme leftist. He's just a grungy politician who's profited handsomely from his association there. But now all of a sudden he's lining up on the other side, not publicly. He wouldn't endorse the new socialist mayor of New York City, Mamdani. He wouldn't go that far, but now he's making this ridiculous stand. And thankfully overnight, because Democrats are hearing from their constituents and people know there's been 14 votes already to reopen the government, and no, and only three Democrats, and they need, because they only have a majority of 53, they need eight Democrats to vote along with them to get the government back on in business and get air traffic controllers back in place and all the other laid off workers that have not been able to make a paycheck. And even our soldiers and people defending our country, Trump found some money in the defense budget to compensate them, but they were not considered essential enough to get paid. It's really a nefarious tactic, and it's made the American people very conscious of what's going on in Washington. The big rivalry now is amazing, because whether you realize it or not, because they're calling themselves socialist democratic or democratic socialist, let me get the term right, as we've talked about, that's impossible, because that's just a irony or just a contradiction of terms. You can't be a socialist and believe in democracy. That's not how that works. Socialism is based on government being everybody's daddy. Government's in control. Government decides what you can do, where you can go, what you can drive, where you can live. Government decides your best interest. You no longer have a vote in that. That's the dream of these people that want to be the elite brand. It's a really mixed bag, and we've talked about it at length many times, but that's what's going on in this government shutdown business. It's just a big show. It's just a big political struggle, and it's not just a political struggle of Democrats versus Republicans. It is the broken in half now Democrat Party, which is being driven strongly by the extreme left, and has almost it resulted in the complete disappearance of the of the what was once the Democrat Party, which once again was the party for the little guy, the working man. No longer. Now it's rich Ivy League elites and people that have hijacked our education system starting in 1978. All of this foreign influence, but probably the most effective influence and the smartest thing they've done that has been the most effective is to hijack the American education system from grade one all the way through the university system, and start to do what Marxist countries have always done, start to teach young people that their country is evil, their country is corrupt, and their idea of a euphoric and an efficient land that's fair and equitable for all is the process of Marxist, socialist, communist, big government being in charge. And all these big money elites from the Ivy League that have been poisoned and taught this, and also are third, fourth, fifth generation silver spoons, they're sitting up in their places in Hyannisport and all the glorious places, Nantucket. Let's just go down the list. Martha's Vineyard. These are the gazillionaire liberals who are not going to be affected by anything's happening in the country. It's anybody striving to make a living. It's anybody who has reached any kind of modicum of success. The upper middle class to the to the higher income people, but not the elite rich gazillionaires. The battle lines are drawn. You've got to decide which line you're going to be on. Are you on the side of America being a free market capitalist society where the American dream is available to anybody who is willing to roll up their sleeves and use their talents and their abilities and, you know, depend on their instincts to carve out a living in a land of abundant opportunity that's becoming even more abundant every day as the current president shores up deals all around the world, is bringing in so much more money and industry and manufacturing. There are going to be incredible opportunities in the very near future for this country. Do you want to bet on that, or do you want to bet on a failed policy that we've seen for millions of years, not millions of years, but for thousands of years, decades, centuries, in this on our planet, of these government being in charge of everything, government being in charge of manufacturing and production, government making decisions on exactly how much they're going to take from you and how much you're going to have left. And it's never worked. It will never work because you always run out of other people's money to spend. Watching what happens to New York now with Mamdani coming in, people are already leaving in droves. He's going to tax the rich to give everything free to the poor. That doesn't work, folks, because the rich will not stay there. They consider people rich that, you know, maybe have two cars and a decent house. Those people aren't rich. They can't take a 2% tax increase on top of the highest taxes that are already being paid in the country. Anyway, I'm starting to ramble now, so I'll wrap this up. But look for the government shutdown to be a thing of the past, because there's been five or six additional Democrats that now have said, yes, we will vote with the Republicans and get this thing out of the way. It's going to cause more of a fracture in the Democrat Party. And get your popcorn ready, as Lane Kiffin once famously declared, because this is going to be quite a show to watch the power struggle, not between Democrats and Republicans, but Democrats and Democratic Socialists who are Marxist Communists. Let's call them what they are. That's what they believe in. They believe all of us tie for first place. All of us get a trophy, but the trophy is invaluable, inconsequential, and it's going to plunge our country into third world status. And that's not what I want. And I know it's not what you want. We live in the greatest country ever founded, ever conceived. Let's act like it. Let's line up on the side of righteousness. Socialism has reared its ugly head many times in the history of our country, trying to involve themselves in the process. We have to draw the line and say, nuh-uh, it's not going to happen here. This is America, the land of the free, the home of the brave. Just like the SEC in America, it just means more. And it certainly means more than to let this socialist infusion rear its ugly head and satisfy the desires of everyone around the world that wants to see America fail and be imploded from within, because they can't assail us from the outside. They can only make us destroy ourselves from the inside, with the help of a lot of illegal people that shouldn't even be in this country, that we have given full citizen rights to. That is a terrible mistake that we've got to walk back the best we can. But we have the numbers. We can win the battle. But everybody needs to understand what is at stake here. It is basically your future, and especially the future of your children and their children in succeeding generations. I'm Kip Kiefer. That's what you need to know. A lot of kind of summary stuff that we've talked about over the last few months. But with the government shutdown, it's important to understand what the issues are and where we are today and what you need to do in terms of getting involved. Think for yourself, make your decision, choose your side of the battle line, and get on board, because this is going to be quite a ride over these next couple of years. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a great week, everybody. God bless you all. Thank you for listening. I'm Kip Kiefer on TKR.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.